Barış'ta.
Barış'ta.
Please join me in saying the Anabakoa.
Okay, let me mute.
Okay. Anabakoa, Gedula Chemincha, Tati, Tzeruah, Aleph Gimel Yitzhak Sadi. Kabel rinat amcha sagbeinu tacharenu nora ufreshayim sintet nun. Na gibor dorshe yehudcha kivavat shamrem. Nun gimel dalet yud kashin. Barhem tacharem rachame sitkatha tamid gavlem. Betet resh tzadi taf gimel. Chasim kadosh berov tucha nael adata. Et kuf bet tet nun ayin. Yachid de'e lamcha p'nei zochrei kidushata. Yud gimel lamed pei zayin kuf. The letters of the month of Elul. The letter resh that created the planet Mercury, Kohav, which is the unity of the light in the vessel. Kaf Vav is the light, Hashem's gematria name. Kaf Bet, the number of letters in the Hebrew Aleph Bet. The Yud is the astrological sign of the Tula, the Virgo. Together, the Resh and the Yud have a gematria of 210. The same gematria as the Hebrew word redu, meaning to go down, as in Abraham went down to Egypt. During Elul, Hashem comes down to the garden. Hashem becomes closer to us, making our teshuvah easier. The permutation on Rosh Chodesh for Elul is hey, hey, why, oh, hey, hey, why, oh, hey, hey, why, oh. Shabbatenu kabel, ushmatzi akatenu, yodea ta'alubo. Shin kufal. Tzadi yotaf. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai, hey, hey, wayo. Adonai, hey, hey, wayo. El rachum v'chanun. Erech apayim v'rav chesed v'emet. Notzer chesed l'alafim. Notzer avon wafesha v'chata'av v'nakei. We will now connect to the energy of certainty, utilizing a verse from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. The verse comes from Parashat Yitro. It is Pasuk 29. We will start with a L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kuksha barishu ishkinte bidhilu. Urchimu, chilu, chilu, urchimu. Le'achda l'shem yudhei b'vavhei, v'yichudah shelim b'shem kol Yisrael, limud Torah mitzvah, la'asok Torah mitzvah, v'yihino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei adenu konenei, aleinu ma'asei adenu konenei. Rabbi Abba Amar Bika Matar Tane Nandakucha Parichu Koma De Aved De Ela Witata Kola Ihu Kishot Biovada Dikshot Veleid Lach Mila Bialma Divae Barnash Ledach Yaleya Mineyahu Anhaga Beyakalana Dehakuru Ovada Dikshot Inun Wikolait Sturit Be Alma. The energy of the year 5779, our current year that is coming to a close, is to become wiser. We have been studying one verse out of 13 verses each month during this year. For the month of Elul, that last verse, 13th verse, is from Job chapter 22, verse 4. Ami yiracha yo kichecha Yavo imcha b'mishpat. Is it for thy fear of him that he reproves thee, that he enters with thee into judgment? The last word in this verse, b'mishpat, is a hint to the concealed energy of the year 5780, Eitashin Pe. We will discuss that in a future class in more detail. The energy of the year 5774 is peace in the Middle East. There is one verse that we study in the Tanakh with this energy. It is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wisamti makom le'ami li'Israel untati v'shakan Tachta willow yirgaz, od willow yosifu. Vene avla anoto, ka'asher barishona. We will now connect to the 72 names of God, utilizing the tool of saying each letter out loud with its root vowel in sequence. Wahe wayo layo sayote alame mehe shila lahe aka aka heta he zayo alada la awahe heya yozala me behe he reyo he kome la awaka layo La wa wa pe he la, nu la ha yo yo yo, me la he 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 wa, nu ta he he a a, yo re ta shi a he, re yo yo a wa me, la ka be wa shi re, yo he wa la he he, ka wa ko me nu da. Anu yo he ame re he a yo yo za he 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 me yo ha wa wa la yo la he sa ala are yo Ashilameo he Wahe wa danu yo he he shi ame me nu nu wa nu yota me be he pe wa yo nu me me yo yo la he re he me tsa re wa me be yo he he anu wa me he yo da me be me nu ko a yo a he be wa re a he yo be me he yo yo me wa me. We will now connect to the 72 names that were revealed by the Tzaddikim, utilizing the same technique, same tool. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a a me me be shi la yo he anu wa ka me ta he he yo anu da la he wa he me a yo cha la me re he he yo yo he me me la wa wa ka be yo la yo wa pe nu la nu me ha yo he wa yo he yo me nu da he 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 wa nu yo he he shi a yo re ta shi a he re la yo a wa me la yo pe wa he re yo yo wa la he he ka a ko me nu da nu yo he wa me re he a yo he za he shi he me ka ha wa wa la yo yo he sa a la a re yo a a la me ta he wa he wa da la yo he yo shi a la me nu he a nu a ta me la he pe a yo nu ko me yo re la he me he be he me za re wa he be yo a he a la wa me za yo da he be me ka ko a la a he he wa re la he yo yo me he la yo me he me. The names of the Tzaddikim who chose to leave this day, which is Rosh Chodesh Elul Bet. This is the first day of the month of Elul. Rabbi Yitzhak ben Rabbi Avraham Shlomo and Rabbi Yaakov Mizrahi. And is our normal pattern on Sunday, since we don't have a class in the evening, to say the names of the Tzaddikim that chose to leave on the second day of Elul, which will start at sundown tonight. Rabbi Yitzhak Bar Sheshet, the Rivash. Rabbi Gershon Shaul Yom Tov Lipman Heller. Rabbi Avraham Yaakov Friedman of Boyan Lov. Rabbi Elazar, then Rabbi Yisrael Hager, and Rabbi Shmuel David Walken. At this point in our normal patterns, we would have gone to the Ani meditation. But during the month of Elul, from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Yom Kippur, or actually Erev Yom Kippur, we study the Tikkuni Zohar. And so we will be doing that in our classes as well. Just a few verses. I'm starting with the handout which is available on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. In row 19, the second column from the left, is the Tikkuni Zohar landing page. When the landing page opens up, scroll down to section 55A. And I'm just going to read a few verses, and when I stop, I will tell you where I am stopping by the number of lines. Daro ayamina lekapel shavit shavim vayok yam lon min filu vilchon v'achid v'yadichon v'yemei lon kum shavi yerushalayim uvashavot Yefakun bezahuta demi Moshe deayehu matan Torah rachemi veugli lon sefer Torah v'yatkana shon v'Yerushalayim v'tareya Hayavash Balchut Arasha Virachemi Albanoi Uvya Kanesher Yaur Kano Man Kano Yerushalayim Kanu Lashik Yanata. I'm stopping at the end of the fourth line. I'm now scrolling down to the English translation. And I will read some of the English translation, but it will not be an exact of what I read in the Aramaic, because obviously I'm not familiar with the Aramaic well enough to translate it cleanly. There is a perfected state where and when Torah is given. It is a singular moment. We return to following repentance. The cantillation notes represent directions above and below that are symbols of our spiritual pathways in regards to whether we are moving upwards and or away from holiness. We will now connect to something we call the Ma meditation, and you can find that on the Unique Astrological Times link in the first part of that landing page. It's called the Ma meditation, and it's from the Ari. The word Makshava, which means thought, can be read as Chashav Ma. Think of Ma. This means that one should visualize five times the extended expansion of Hashem's name, Havaya, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, when it's spelled out and filled with Aleph. This is called Ma, and it goes like this. Yud, Yud-Heh, Yud-Heh-Vav. Yud hey vav hey. I've completed one spelled out name. Now there are four others. Yud, Yud hey, Yud hey vav, Yud hey vav hey, Yud, Yud hey, yud hey vav, yud hey vav hey, yud, yud hey, yud hey vav, yud hey vav hey, yud, yud hey, yud hey vav, yud hey vav hey. Our class today is on the unique astrological times link. If you scroll down very slightly, you will find the link under the section of preparation for Elul and Tishrei holidays. And the link that says the preparation for Elul and Tishrei holidays will open up to a landing page. And if you, when that landing page opens up, you scroll down to the class 4A, the deep Kabbalah on the shofar. We all know that during Elul, we play, we blow the shofar once a day in the morning. The primary purpose of this is to wake up the soul to do teshuvah, to return the hay that was separated from Hashem's name, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. The lower hay is separated when we do a negative action. We need to do teshuvah to return that hay. That is teshuvah. And the shofar is to wake us up when we blow it in during Elul. We also know we blow it many times on Rosh Hashanah for a different purpose, which we will discuss as we get closer to Rosh Hashanah. We also blow it as a closing action, a closing note of the blowing of the shofar on Yom Kippur. And on that Yom Kippur, if it was a year that was a Jubilee year, we would blow that as well. But through our many sins over the centuries, we no longer have the merit to know when is a Jubilee year. That will be revealed by the Mashiach. We're starting to read the deeper levels of the shofar. The root of the word shofar is shin pe resh, and it translates as to be good. Another translation, to be beautiful, to be pleasing, to be improved. And an alternate translation is to look at the energy of each letter. The shin is passion. The pei is the mouth. And the resh has two meanings. One is a lack, and the other is the head, the intellect. The passion of the mouth coming from the intellect. is one translation. The mouth's passion leads to lack is another translation. Continuing to read, the Zohar explains that the shofar consists of the three columns. The horn represents the left column, the desire to receive. The consciousness of the person blowing represents the right column of sharing. And the air being blown represents the Setra column, which consists of a desire to receive with its fulfillment of being shared to. When the Atbash substitution method is used, the shofar becomes Bet, Pe, Vav, and Gimel. The last three letters translate as to disappear. That would be Pe, Vav, and Gimel. And the Bet means with or in. This indicates that the purpose of the shofar is to make our negativity disappear into the blowing of the shofar. To truly understand this concept, one must remember to answer to the question, where does the darkness go when the light is turned on? It goes into the light. This is my opinion, as I have not read it anywhere else. Yet, when we turn off the light, the darkness comes back. So it's not that it's disappeared. It's not that it is destroyed. It is that it goes into the light. And being in the light, it's part of the process of making up the light, of causing the light. Without desire, there is no revelation of light. These are teachings of the Kabbalah. Where does the darkness go when you turn on the light? It goes into the light. The gematria of the word shofar is 586. 586 is also the gematria of the full spelled out of the word yesod, which means a foundation. The shofar is a foundation. But what is it a foundation to? Or four. It's the foundation of Bina. It's the Yesod of Bina. The gematria of the shofar, when substituted with the Atbash, substitution is 91, representing the unification of the spiritual and the physical levels of consciousness, the unity of Zeranpin and Malchut, which also takes place on Shabbat, which is the real reason that we do not blow the shofar when Shabbat coincides with Rosh Hashanah. This coming year, that is not going to happen. It's a great merit when the year, it's a great help when the year corresponds with Shabbat, with Rosh Hashanah corresponding to Shabbat. But the shofar essentially unifies, just like Shabbat. The small gematria of shofar is 19. Which is the same gematria as Chava's name, And the translation of Chava is the mother of life. The shofar in Rosh Hashanah. The shofar is connected to Bina since it is similar to our trachea, which is another name for the windpipe. The windpipe, unlike the esophagus, receives no physical items like food and drink. Especially when we start coughing and we say to others, it went down the wrong pipe. We understand that in the neck, in the throat, there are these two pipes. One leads to the stomach and one leads to the lungs. The windpipe goes to the lungs. The esophagus goes to the stomach. When we hear the shofar, either in Elul or on Rosh Hashanah or on Yom Kippur, and we know this following truth that I will explain, we cleanse our blockages within our bodies and also the blockages created during this past year by the various nations. This is what leads to a completely cleansed following 12 months for both the individual, for the congregation, for the various nations, and the world in general. If you understand this truth, the hearing of the shofar when blown by a person who is knowledgeable in the kavanah that is correct for the blowing of the shofar, we blow up any blockage that will occur in our life, or the life of the nations, or the life of the world, or the life of the congregations. Any blockage will be blown up. The problem is, the majority of people blowing the shofar do not have the kavanah, the intention. They don't know the proper intention. And the blowing of the shofar is not as effective because of that. It is said that Rabbi Shimon would spend 3 days prior to Rosh Hashanah preparing the person blowing the shofar. In those 3 days, they would study the Kavanah. They would study what we are studying here today in much more depth, of course. In Hebrew, follow this truth. Satan is spelled Shin Tet Nun Sofit. Esophagus is spelled Vav Shin Tet. Beshet. What is the difference between the two words? The Nun Sofit is a straight line that goes below the line. The Vav is a straight line that stays above the line. When we allow our ego to express itself through anger and other negative emotions and thoughts, we expand both the ego and the Vav of the esophagus. We create our own Satan in our body. As the Vav grows, it becomes a Nun Sofit. As we have learned about permutating words, all of the different energies of the different words are included within each other. When we allow negative expressions of emotions, we are expanding the vava vishet of esophagus to become satan in our own body. Learn this truth well. Realizing it, you can stop it. Starting the day after Rosh Hashanah, each negative thought and action expands the vav of the veshet, the esophagus, to become satan, and thereby block our access to the light. The larger the nun, meaning the longer, the less light flow to us, while the negative system ruled by the satan receives more of that light. Please look at the Hebrew letters in the above paragraphs closely. The only difference between Veshet and Satan is the location of the Nun Sofit, or is it a Vav? By blowing the shofar, we shrink the Nun Sofit back into its original Vav and remove the Satan from blocking our access to the flow of the light. This is why we blow the shofar. Yet this is only works when we know with certainty that this metaphor is actually the manifestation of the way of the world. This is the tool Hashem gives us if we know it. And there is one more prerequisite. We must sincerely want to change ourselves to never do that action again. What action? The action that expands our ego and also grows the Vav into a Nun Sofit. The Kabbalah teaches that 101 blasts follow the pattern of 30, 30, 30, 10, and 1, for a total of 101. Each of the 30 connect to the pattern of 10 blasts on the right column, 10 blasts on the left column, and 10 blasts on the central column. Each of the 30 have three sets of 10, which also follows the column, the columns. If this sequence is not clear, spend some time contemplating it. And if it is still not clear, send me an email and ask for clarification. It is important. When you hear the blasts of the shofar, whatever minyan you attend, some do not blow 101. You always need to understand that of the 10, which is the minimum halakhically, so all minions will blow at least 10. You need to understand when you hear the first one of each 10, you are receiving the right column of the right column. When you hear the second blast, you are receiving the left column of the left column. Excuse me, of the right column. The left column of the right column. And when you hear the third blast, you are receiving the central column of the right column. The fourth is the right column of the left column. The fifth is the left column of the left column. The sixth is the central column of the left column. The seventh is the right column of the central column. The eighth is the left column of the central column. The ninth is the central column of the central column. And that leaves the 10th column, which is the manifestation. But let's understand the 10 blows. Tekiya is always the first, followed by either a Shivarim, or what is the name of the other one? The Shivarim is three staccato blasts, three equally length blasts, or the second negative is 9 minimum, sometimes 13 staccato blasts. So if you're talking about the right column, it's Tekiya, Shivarim, Tekiya. We always enclose the negativity with positivity. The Tekiya is a positive blast. So this idea of the 10 is actually composed of a Tekiya, Shivarim, Tekiya. That's the right column blowing. A Tekiya staccato blast. I keep forgetting the name. I'm sure it's written on the page, but I don't want to take the time to go there. And the last blow is a Tekiya. Positive, negative, positive. That's the left column blowing. And then the central column blowing is Tekiya, Shivarim, staccato, Tekiya. That last Tekiya represents the manifestation of positivity because the blockage has been removed. Those are the 10 blasts. This is a minimum. Of course, we try to do 30 or 101. I have given you the Kavanah for the 10 blasts. So I'm skipping that section of the handout. The final blast, the 101st, is the Kavanah of Malchut of Malchut of Malchut of Malchut. These are the final 10, because if we do 3 30s, it's only 90. And we do 10, that refers to David, King David. And these blasts, these 101 blasts, destroy all of the negative chaos that is waiting to find the nation of the children of Israel. And when the children of Israel are cleansed, the world becomes cleansed. Here's another metaphor to help you understand what is happening in the cosmos. When the shofar is blown by a person who is knowledgeable about what he is doing. If the blower of your shofar is not a student of Kabbalah, then the consciousness that is injected into the blows is not as effective, as you will see by this metaphor. That is, the Zohar teaches that Rabbi Shimon would spend 3 days prior to Rosh Hashanah in preparation and cleansing so that his consciousness would be pure. When the blower is a student of Kabbalah, the Satan makes extra effort to confuse the blower about where he is in the sequence. A proper prepared blower will only move from one blow to the next if the blow has the proper consciousness since that blow is rising to the level of consciousness appropriate for it. It's rising to the proper level of Sephirah. When the blow enters the Sephirah, there are bubbles of negativity in the cosmos of that level that are waiting for the Bet Din permission to find the person who created them. The negative blow has affinity with the negative effect, waiting to become chaos in someone's life. When this ballistic missile of sound reaches the target, the bubble of negativity, it blows up, which releases the positive blows to absorb the negativity as described above. Therefore, this chaos is removed from the life of a person, providing that the action is not being done again. Remember, when the light goes out, the darkness returns. That is why we are doing Teshuvah in the 40 days of Elul through Yom Kippur. That is why we blow the shofar every day of Elul, except the day before Rosh Hashanah. The physical explanation for this one day without the blows is that we do not want Satan to know exactly when is Rosh Hashanah. Of course, the physical explanation does not make sense. When we remember that the day without the blowing of the shofar is the day of the annulment of the vows, it makes spiritual sense. And we will discuss this more when we discuss Rosh Hashanah. From this point forward is a deeper explanation of the shofar and other aspects of the Rosh Hashanah holiday that was written by one of my teachers. I do not think we will have time to finish the teaching. In fact, I know we won't. I warn people that this explanation will sound out there, a little meshuggah, a little not rational. Yet it is a real explanation of the natural laws of our universe that is not yet revealed by science. Take it for what you will. I hope you will read it, because if it's given to your unconscious, it will be taken to heart. Theory believes that prior to the Big Bang, our entire universe was an empty dimensional plane. It was only when a nearby parallel universe collided with our empty dimensional plane at a specific point that energy from the full one spewed out into the empty other, and later that energy congealed to form physical matter. From this point of singular, primordial energy came the diversity of the universe. Ultimately, therefore, everything in the universe came from the same source and is therefore somehow still connected to it. Indeed, the membrane theory, the MEM theory, states that everything in the universe is still somehow connected. And therefore, any one thing can somehow affect any other thing. If you will allow my use of metaphor, creation was almost as if the other dimension penetrated our dimension, ejaculated in it, and impregnated it. Our growing universe and us being the children. I use this metaphor because the guardians of Torah secrets speak in sexual metaphorical terms to describe the relationship between dimensions, Zerantin and the Nukva. There might be more to this set of terms than mere metaphor. in my worldview, there are more than metaphors. This interaction of primordial cosmic radiation fields affects everything, including human consciousness. King Solomon wrote that there is a time and place for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to sow. These nice words are much more than beautiful poetry, Solomon, who was a keeper of the secrets, was actually discussing natural laws and how cosmic energy fields bombard Earth in a relatively mechanical, timely manner, influencing shifts in collective human consciousness and thereby influencing and shifting the course of events on Earth, be they political, be they social, or be they economic. The cosmic interaction between Earth, the radiation fields, and their influence upon human consciousness is by no means generic. The interactions never affect two people or two places in exactly the same way. At each point in space is finite and subjective. So too is each monad of human consciousness. Each unit of consciousness is what we call a soul. As each of us go through our daily lives, oblivious to anything happening in the universe, we regularly pass through specific fields of cosmic energy, bombarding our planet. Some are large and can affect all of humanity. Some can affect only a relative physical locality. Some vibrate at a specific resonance that affects only one individual, or a few individuals of a certain orientation of consciousness. Everything is subjective and relative, yet everything operates according to the natural laws of the universe in its own version of mechanical form. Authentic Hebrew astrology is the science of understanding how natural cosmic fields present in the universe, how they affect life on Earth as Earth passes through them and is influenced by them. These influences are scientific and not mythical. The nature of these energy fields are some form of electromagnetism that may or may not be detectable by means known to present science. The nature of the influence that energetic fields have on human consciousness can be displayed in the laboratory. What is even more radical than this is the influence that human consciousness can have on energy fields. It is a well-known principle of quantum physics that atomic particles react in a different manner when they are being watched as to when they are not being watched. The nature of the observer and the observation affects them. This is an unwritten commentary, but it will help you to understand my thinking and decide for yourself. Authentic Hebrew astrology is the term used by this author. But over the centuries, over the years in the centuries, that authentic Hebrew astrology has become physically modified, in that the way we observe the zodiac signs has changed. They are still there, but some are wider and some are narrower. the modern sidereal astrology takes these changes into account. And when I discuss in my weekly email the astrological impact I am utilizing the current physical state referred to as sidereal astrology. In this state, each zodiac sign is not 30 degrees. Some are larger, some are smaller. None are 30 degrees. If you take 12 times 30, it's 360. The number of degrees in a circle. If you add up the 12 sidereal astrology signs, their widths add up to 360. Continuing to read. Our universe, our planet, and our race all operate in this quantum reality, so too does the Torah. Torah is not a mere book about religion and stories of legend. It is an extraterrestrial communique of a quantum nature and contains within it significant scientific lessons. Some are revealed by our scientists, some have yet to be revealed. If we ever bothered to explore the Torah scientifically and mathematically, we would make discoveries so profound that they would enable us to find our collective way back home to the stars from which we came. My commentary. There is a reason that the name of the race of angels mentioned in the Sefer Yetzirah are called watchers. Or maybe they should be called observers and action takers. Torah directs its recipients to perform specific ritual acts in very precise, specific ways, in very precise, specific moments. The details can be as complicated and precise as operating a technical piece of machinery or operating software on a computer. If the lessons of the Torah were merely symbolic and mythical in nature, then all the details would be superfluous and unnecessary. Yet the fact that such details exist with such precision indicates to us that there is a reason for their being. A scientific exploration of Torah. An exploration of Torah rituals that reveals to us how human consciousness influences and affects not only human behavior, but also the electromagnetic fields, the brain waves that they generate. The significant ritual associated with Rosh Hashanah is the blowing of the shofar, the ram's horn. Very precise details are given how a shofar is to be made, how it is to be blown, and even how it is to be held in one's hand. Again, if this were all a metaphor, the details would be superfluous. However, the ritual of blowing the shofar, when performed properly, combining all of the necessary elements creates a manipulation of subtle cosmic energy fields that have a profound effect upon human consciousness. Thus, we have the synthesis of time, space, action, and consciousness, each interacting with the influencing of one another. The blowing of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah is actually actuality, and implementation of a natural scientific program, facilitating the smooth flow of energy fields functioning within the universal machine. As an extraterrestrial communique, would we expect anything in the Torah to be less profound? Human consciousness is the vital key that can influence all the other energy fields in the universe. The untapped powers of consciousness are today called extrasensory perception, ESP. The untapped powers of consciousness, we all have these abilities. They are part of our being human. They operate and function autonomously, whether or not we are aware of them. And this is why we can always be influenced by forces from afar, afar in time and afar in place. This is also why when we train our minds properly, we in turn can influence forces from afar, afar in time and afar in space. In order to assist us to accomplish this, we perform rituals, mitzvot. These have deep archetypal meanings in the consciousness, in the unconsciousness, and therefore they affect us deeply when we interact with them by our performance of them. I strongly suggest, since we are out of time, that you continue reading the balance of this handout. I bid you all Rosh Chodesh Tov, a good month of Elul, a month of Teshuvah, a month of preparation for the year 5780. We will discuss more of that in future classes. Does anyone have any questions? At 3 p.m. West Coast time, we will have our class on advanced reincarnation. Tomorrow morning, Monday morning, at 10 a.m., we will be doing the Slichot service and reading Psalm 27 and studying the Zohar, blowing the shofar. I hope you will join us. We will be doing that every day, Sunday to Friday, during the month of Elul. Yes, Brandy.
West Coast time, 10 o'clock?
No, West Coast time is 7 a.m.
Okay.
Central time is 9 a.m. My time, Eastern time, is 10 a.m. And thank you for pointing out that clarification.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions? If not, I wish you all Rosh Chodesh Tov, Shavua Tov, and a happy day. Shalom to all. Shalom Gadol.
Shalom. Happy day.
Shalom.